Hey, Kelsey, Norm MacDonald here. So, you have a podcast, huh? Fantastic. You know what I always say? You know what the world needs more of? Podcasts.
Live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios, The Kelsey Hutchins Show.
So, hey, first off, sorry it's been so long for those of you who have listened before, and hello to those who have never listened before. My name is Kelsey Hutchins. This is the Kelsey Hutchins Show. So basically, this is not an episode of the show yet. This is just the first thing that I'm going to release on my new podcast platform, which is Podbean. I want to be very, very, very thankful and be vocal about how grateful I am of the fine folks of Podbean for letting me pull over all of my old old podcast episodes over into over into the new platform. So grateful to the fine folks of Podbean for doing that. Also, I am very, very thankful also for the fine folks over at the Voices of Misery podcast for suggesting that I use Podbean for going forward in the future, and I'm going to be doing that. So heads up this is going to be released on the MI Stuff podcast channel. This will be the last thing that I will release on that channel, just to pull everyone over to the Kelsey Hutchins Show, which is going to be on Podbean. I will have links to that in the description of this little tiny snippet of an episode. So, that's going to be happening. And also, I owe you guys an apology because I understand. I had a few people who listened to this podcast, and I talked to a few of you guys out in the world that I actually know who wanted me to release more content, and I'm sorry it's been that long, but I'm going to explain why it has been that long. So, all right, Stosh, I'll give you one. Here's the thing: if you show up to my YouTube channel, you get a wrench. That's how it works. I stole that trick from Jamie Deluxe. Stole that trick from Jamie Deluxe, and I appreciate it, Brother Jamie. So, anywho, I have been stressed out about money, and don't worry, Bruce. I'm not changing the format too much. I'm not going to change the format too much. I'm still going to do the guitar. We'll do some of that. Well, actually, since I know a lot of folks actually asked to make sure that I was going to do that, I will. So, anyway, I have been just worried about money. I've been worried about money, and for those of you who do not know, and I don't think there's anybody in the world who has ever gone through a phase in their life where they didn't have to worry about money. So I think everybody's at least been there one time. No matter your situation, there's been a time in your life where you were worried about dollars, and that is the worst kind of stress you can have. And I have that stress very heavily. So basically, that just makes me really, really down. It makes me really, really sad. And I get to the point where I don't want to get in front of a camera. I don't want to get in front of a mic, just because it's really tough for me to get in front of a mic without bringing it up. Obviously, I brought it up now, but it's only because I wanted to tell you guys. It really is, Poser. It's awful, and I hate doing that. It's just an awful fucking way to live, and I hate it. And I didn't want to get in here and just complain to you guys. Like, I didn't want that to be the case. And I was afraid I would do that. So, I have 100% Valish. I know what you mean. So, anyway, what the reason that I bring up financial things is because the podcast server that I'm not going to mention anymore, yeah, it really does. The podcast server that I'm not using anymore was charging me $50 a month to... It was charging me $50 a month to upload my podcast. And... It just... Why is it still going through my headphones? But... It was charging me 50. Oh, 100%. I get that. Yeah. But it was charging me 50 bucks a month to upload my podcast and give me a website and everything. And I realized that I'm already paying for a website that I'm not even using on another page. I've got domains that I've bought that I'm not using for anything. And there are other places where I could upload my podcast. And listen, $50 isn't the top tier of the $50 isn't the top tier of what I would need eventually. That's only for 20 gigs of upload space. And I had like fucking almost 200 episodes. Well, I had more than 200 episodes uploaded if you count sports talks and shit. I appreciate that, Poser, but that's all right. We'll boost it by up in the subscribers, and we'll also boost it. But listen, I love you guys, and I want to tell you, like, and by the way, for my YouTube folks who I haven't talked to in a while, Bruce and Abby and Liz and all the kind folks that I will see, Jana, all of you guys that I haven't seen in a while, and I know I'm leaving a lot of you guys out, but please, I love you. But please, guys, hold me to releasing episodes. Like, please make sure that you guys stay on me in the Discord channel, my Kill Tony Discord fam. Please try to, like, push me to stay on top of this and show my channel love and show the podcast love, because I'm a person that'll fall into my laziness, and if I get used to doing nothing, hold me accountable, please. I really need that. I need that so bad, and I would appreciate you if you would help me do that. So, but basically, what I'm getting at is that I want to have fun with this thing. And when it gets to be the point where I'm like, shit, this thing's taking $50 out of my bank account, I might not have $50 in my bank account sometimes, and that shit'll take $50 out, and it'll charge me $32 extra for taking the $50 out. Like, if I only have $45, it'll charge me $32 for the $5 that my bank has to pay, and I hate that. And that really fucks me up, man. And, I really don't know, Poser. I haven't looked at that stuff. I don't know how any of that stuff works. I really don't know, man. That's what I'm going to start doing, man. I'm just going to start putting my Venmo, like, down at the bottom. Like, I got my Venmo here, but, really? I don't know what the deal is with the... I don't know what the deal is with that Periscope. But, I haven't checked. I know you said something about a super heart earlier. I don't know what the super heart means. But, But Oh, Pose, you really don't have to do that, man. Valis, the reason I haven't done Patreon is because I know my nature, and I'm scared that if I do a Patreon and I get folks that are like fine with me, if that's the case with the Periscope thing, then we need to talk to somebody about that. But anyway, the reason that I didn't want to do the Patreon thing is because I feel like if I were to get of people who were paying a monthly rate for some content that I would put out, that I would not release that content like regularly enough to warrant them paying for it. And I don't know, I just feel like that I would be cheating the people who are paying for the thing. Just I feel like if somebody wanted to donate something or wanted to give me something, that's why I throw my Venmo thing on the screen, just because. You think people would mind that, Valish? Oh, and by the way, people are listening on audio right now. I know that this is probably like not the most riveting content ever, but I do chat back and forth with my YouTube chat group or wherever else I'm getting chats from. I don't have the Periscope stuff opened up, so I can't tell. But yeah, okay. Well, if that's the case, I wouldn't mind doing a Patreon. I actually have a Patreon. I just don't ever fucking use it. I could update it and change around the name and stuff and try to do that. But I don't know what, because I would have to offer my Patreon, my patrons, something different than I will, Dr. Katz. I will. I could offer my patrons something a little different or something a little more, I guess. I just don't know what that thing could be. But yeah, I don't want people to feel like they're wasting money on me or throwing money away on me every month. And I feel like once money comes into the relationship, that people may feel like, oh shit, well, you hadn't released an episode this week, dog. I gave you $20 a month. What's up with that? And is that what Theo does? Does he like use Patreon as like a social media thing where he publishes everything there? Because I'm just so bad about shit like that, man. I'm so bad about posting shit. Like once I get done recording and stuff and doing all of this, I want to just walk away from it. But I know I have to sit at the computer for like another hour or two before I can do that and actually walk away from it. But I mean, okay, now that's a cool thing. For my Patreon, you get to ask questions that I'll read on the air. Now there's an idea that could kill two birds with one stone. Okay. That killed two birds with one stone. That would help me with podcast subjects and help me out a little bit financially. So getting back to my story, I got ADD like a motherfucker, and you guys are gonna, if you're a new listener to this, I'm gonna go ahead and apologize in advance. My brain's all over the fucking place all the time, and I can't help that. And you're gonna get used to it because I got used to it, so you will too. But basically. Basically, I will. All right. So basically, I will be able to upload as much as I want now through Podbean and PayPal. Yeah, I do PayPal, but I think Venmo is just easier. But we'll talk about that later. But yes, I just, through Podbean, I will be able to upload as much as I want forever. They will never raise the price on me. It's only $15 a month instead of $50. And the only reason I'm paying $15 a month now, there is a free option that they have, but I have a lot of other stuff that comes with my podcast. I had a lot of episodes. I had like a fucking 100, like 180 something episodes of, I got like 180 episodes or 189 episodes of the podcast, and then like another 20 episodes of sports talk. So had a lot of stuff. Had a lot of stuff that I had to pull over, like a lot of episodes. And I did that. And alright, homemade, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. Homemade, this'll make you smile, I bet, to know that you are the only person that has my actual number. You are the only person who has my actual number in the Discord thing. Well, except for Wes, because he's my friend from here. But so back to that ADD thing. So the old podcast server that was charging me $50 a month, I've canceled that. I've canceled the payment on that. And look at that, Valish. Aren't we the same? Man, I know this is riveting content for you if you've never listened to my podcast before. But let me tell you, there's a lot more where that came from. So, basically, since I am going to change the name a little bit, basically what I always did with the other podcast is just sit around and finger pick my guitar and just say whatever I would think about it. There was really no order or anything to it. So the podcast setup is going to be about the same as it was for MI stuff, except it's going to be a little more organized. I'm going to have segments of specific things that we're going to do. I will give like 5 minutes to like some sort of like, you know, current events where we would discuss shit that's actually going on in the world, because I'm not big into the news and I don't mean that in the, like, I don't watch the news, but I do care about the events and things that happen. So we'll be going over a few things that happen like that, so we can be caught up on whatever is going on in the world. So that I can use that as a timestamp when I get old and start losing my memories, that I can listen to where I was and what was going on in the world at that time in the future. So I want to be doing that. I also want to be doing, I have a plethora of all of these voices that I have. And I just think that it would be, yes, you got it. Yes, Stephen, Brody Stevens. I think it would be a shame to keep all of those voices in my head. So I think we're going to do some segments with like different voices and shit like that. And I might be going a little bit in the direction of Jeremiah's podcast a little bit. How, you know, Jeremiah and his guests will go into character and they will interview all the shit. What is going on? Seventh Kevin in the house. Kevin, I want you to meet all of my Discord family who's here in the chat. Pyramid 7 is good people, guys. I was just explaining to him, Kevin, that I am switching up a few things on the podcast, and I was explaining why it's been a while. I've just been going through some financial stresses. Hold on a second.
Let me tell you something, Joe Rogan.
I got you, Valish.
Let me tell you something, Joe Rogan.
So, bless you back, Kevin. I hope everything's going good for you, buddy. And if they're not, I'm still praying for you. I want you to know that. Yes. This is still going to be me. It's still going to be me doing the show. It's still going to be me, but it would be foolish to keep all those voices in my head and not utilize them a little bit. So I'm probably going to be making a soundboard with characters and shit that I have in my head and just random voices and random bits and shit like that and random characters that I've created. Also characters that actually exist, real people that I do impersonations of, impressions of, things like that. Yes, Kevin, like my Google already didn't happen, bro. Like my Google or it didn't happen guy who you can't convince of anything. Or my, yes, it's time to go outside and get banana and eat it proper way for protein and potassium. It helped for you. All these things that I have that I would just be fucking around with, or like,
let me tell you something, Joe Rogan.
Like Joey Diaz or Brody Stevens, yes. Or whatever it is. And that's what I'm thinking. I also I also have all of these different things that I like, skits in my mind that I could fuck around with and like do some pre-recorded stuff. And there will be some pre-recorded stuff, and I used to look down on that, but I don't care anymore. I just kind of want to do what is going to make me feel relevant. And the stuff that I was doing didn't make me feel relevant, you know? It made me feel pushy. It made me feel like I'd worn out my welcome. It made me feel like, yeah, like I hung out too long at a friend's house and the parents were just too nice to tell me to leave. And I felt like that's what I was doing. And I know that I might have some, we've talked about it in the podcast before. I could have a little bit of BPD or other things that'll make me just paranoid about other people's thoughts of me. And I'll even think, and it gets to bad to the point to where I'll be sitting in a Discord chat sometime and I'll look on all the things and like, I'm the one that's commented last. And I'm like, am I here too much? And like, am I like ruining this because I'm around? And my mind just does that. And it just like does that to me. And I can't cut that shit off. And, Oh, yeah, I hear you, Bruce, and I appreciate that. But I just felt like I really just felt like I was, like, just too pushy, and, like, my brain does that to me. And most of the time in Discord, I'm just trying to make a joke or be in character and do bits and stuff like that. And every now and again, I'll get serious and say something. But the truth is I'm just a dark person. Like, I've got a dark heart. I got a black heart. I throw that black heart around all the time on Discord. And Soupy didn't get it. He's like, I don't get the black heart. Does that mean, like, you know, it's bad? Or, and I was like, no, just a black heart. I have a black heart. And I don't talk about that stuff a lot because it's dark and it's depressing and it's sad. But, yeah, I appreciate that, Valish. But I don't know. I just feel like, shit, man, am I overstaying my welcome? Am I like saturating the market too much with myself? But that's sort of what I've been doing lately. Over the last few years, I've just been trying to get my name out there, and I've been spreading my actual name as much as I have Yonder Wizard lately. And I kind of like I like the Yonder Wizard because it's sort of like something you can hide behind. It's sort of like you're in character all the time through that. or I'm in character all the time through that, and for some reason I'm more comfortable then, more comfortable that way. So I've been living through that. Yeah. Well, technically, that was Valish. Here's what we did. So Valish here had never seen Harry Potter. And yeah, let's go with that, Kevin. The rest of the world hasn't caught up to my infinite level of comprehension. Let's just go with that. That sounds fair enough. But no, Valish had said, I asked him casually in a voice chat one night what his favorite Harry Potter movie was. And he said he hadn't done the Harry Potter thing yet. And I was like, I might have said something to the point of I thought we were friends. I thought I knew you because I'm very big into Harry Potter. But he came back later and I was like, dude, I have all the Harry Potters on a hard drive. We could all watch them if you want. And I Valish was the one that was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. And here's the thing that I love about that. Is because I, being from here in the South, when we get people who say, I don't give shit about that thing, they won't do it for the rest of their lives just because they don't want to say, okay, you know what? You were right on this thing. I was wrong. This is actually great. I wish that I could have, you know, I wish I would have known sooner. You know, this is great. They don't want to say that. My brother Valish here, he jumped in and said, yeah, you just burn the books. That's right. Don't burn no books. But Valish was like, you know what? Let's watch these things. I'll watch them. And we got a group together of people who had never, like a couple of people who had never seen the Harry Potter series. And we started watching them. And literally, we watched a couple a night. We did it over the course of a week. And now we've probably watched the entire series of Harry Potter like a time and a half. We watched The Fantastic Beasts. We watched a couple of scary movies over the last couple of days that I really like. And that's really been fun. I love movies. And I've been able to share these things with all these other people that I don't even really know other than through the internet. And I'm going to be fucking honest with you, man. I love these fucking people. These pieces of shit. These fucking weirdos. I love these fucking weirdos. I am love. I am life. I'm just kidding. Poser, I really appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Valish as well. I really appreciate the whole community. Bruce and Kevin, my YouTube folks, like, my anxiety limits me in my life. Yeah, man, we got to get all those fucking, those old what Patrick Swayze movies out. My anxiety, man, just kills me. That's the one right there, Valis. That's it. You should have left it. It's fine. My anxiety gets the best of me, guys. I can get on stage, and most of you have seen me do that on Periscope, and everything looks fine. I'm up there, and Kurt Russell, that's right, sorry. I get up on stage, and I do my thing, and I do it pretty well, and nobody would think there's anything weird going on, but the second I'm done on stage, I start wrapping up cables. I usually cut the video off, but if I would leave it rolling, you guys would see that I just wrap my cables up. I keep my head down. If people come and try to talk to me, good job, blah, blah, blah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I'm very appreciative of that. But then if somebody tries to carry on a conversation with me, I'll usually kill it pretty quick. And other than like conversing with a manager, a bartender, whoever I get a check from. And so... Oh yeah, I hear you, cats. But like, when I have the stage there, and I have my space that I can live in and that I control, I'm fine with that. And Bruce, I'm the same way, man. I'm 100% the same exact way, Bruce. I get, I just winter time, man. Like, short, long story short, there were four people who lived in the house that I grew up in. My grandparents and my Aunt Marie and myself, I'm the only one that's still alive out of all those people. And they all died over the winter. And my grandmother was the one that died the latest in the winter. She died on Easter Sunday. And just all of my family that I grew up and basically what I'm saying is that I've experienced already what most people don't experience until later in their life when like their quote unquote parents pass away. Because my actual parents are still alive, but because I grew up, you know, being raised by my grandparents, when they passed away, it was like, you know, my parents passed. So that all happened over the course of the winter time, and by that just a lot of the winter just kind of brings up a lot of bad memories. And this year's actually been a lot better than anyone before it, just because I've gotten like a really good community of online folks that I talk to and can. I've told people in voice chat things that I've never talked about to only maybe a dozen or so people in my actual life. And now these guys that I've known for a couple of months know more about me than a lot of other people do. And it's like weird that I've gotten so much more comfortable speaking to the internet. And I mean, even in this case, like where I'm speaking to you guys through this camera, I'm more comfortable with this than I am actually sitting in front of somebody and speaking. And just because that's the case, I understand that I might want to do something about that in the future, but just because I'm not doing anything about it right now, I'd be a fool to not utilize this. And a lot of people want to say the sort of things like, you know, Jason Isbell lyric is, I'm learning how to be alone. I'm learning how to be alone. I fall asleep with my TV on, and I fight the urge to live inside my telephone. So I fight the urge to live inside my telephone. And I do the same thing too. Like, I fight the urge to live inside my telephone. But if I don't do that, I won't communicate with anybody, because I'm not going to leave my house. If I don't feel like it, or if I don't have a gig to go do, or food to acquire, one of the things I love the most, you guys know that I talk about a lot, is trivia. I fucking love going to play trivia, man. But I haven't even been leaving my house to go play trivia lately. So that's right, Kevin. And I'm realizing that now that I'm around the sort of people that came to me. And then another group of people that I just basically showed up and was accepted as, like, the first day I basically showed up, like, I became one of the guys, you know? And that's really fucking cool this day and age. Like, I want to think throughout my life that I've had a bunch of friends, but I really haven't. And I appreciate that, Kevin. You are appreciated as well. All you guys are appreciated, and I really, really fucking mean that. But I've had a couple of groups of friends, but I've never had, like, more than, like, four or five friends at a time. And that's mostly my own doing, just because I'm cursed with the ability to see things that other people miss, maybe. And I'm also cursed with the inability to see past things. So, I will see something in somebody and that will immediately turn me off, and I can't deal with that person anymore. And that's something that a lot of folks in my life have fallen victim to, unnecessarily, honestly. And I haven't found out how to turn that off yet. So there's that. But I've like stumbled into something bigger than anything else that I've ever like been a part of. And I am finally getting to y'all know what, like, ever since when I was a kid, the first profession that I ever told people that I was going to be when I hear you, Logan, brother Logan. I haven't found a good enough reason for me to change. Yeah, pretty much. But basically, shit, what was I just, I lost my train of thought just then. Oh man, my brain does that every now and again. I'm sorry, guys. I know this is riveting conversation, but I started thinking about, I was going to play a song at the end of this, and I was like, what song should I play? And I was trying to think of that while I was already talking, and it threw my train of thought off, and then I started reading comments. But yes, I'm finally part of something. I know what I was going to say. The first thing when I was a kid that I told people that I wanted to be when I grow up was a comedian. And people in my family used to always say, you're not funny enough to do comedy. Like, I would always try to do jokes and they just didn't work. So for my life, everything that I've always tried to do is make jokes. And I was always like, I always wanted to be the first one to make a good joke. And I've always tried. So in trying my entire life, I got pretty decent at making jokes. And in getting on stage, playing music and stuff, and I've always felt like I was pretty funny in between sets and in between songs. One of the most fun things that I've had is when I'm in a Discord chat with you guys and actual comedians, like Monfort is an actual comedian and Dave is an actual comedian, come in and talk. Young Jack is an actual comedian. When they come in and they're talking about bits and jokes that they do, that, and then we'll help punch up these jokes and actually talk to comics and get inside the heads of people who, like, I actually look up to. That is just amazing. Talk about comedians. That's right. See, the thing is that everybody who is a, not everybody who is a comedian, or not everybody who had a rough childhood becomes a comedian, but just about every comedian had a rough childhood. And I'm not here to tell any kind of stories to make anybody feel sorry for myself, but I didn't have the greatest childhood. I grew up with there being an argument between my birth mother and my dad and my dad's side of the family who I ended up staying with. And there was just a lot of negativity around that. There was a lot of times my mom was supposed to come pick me up and I would be sitting at the door with my suitcase and she'd never show up. And I'd just be sitting there waiting for her and she would never show up. And then a few years later, I just became obsessed with the idea of having a mom when she didn't even really give a shit about me. So I wanted to go move in with her and she didn't even really want me. So I ended up going and living with her anyway, with me and my stepbrother and my stepdad and my mom, and just being back and forth in the situation with my mom poisoning my dad's family and dad's side of the family against me, or poisoning me against them, rather. She would just brainwash me into, you know, listening to her side of the story on everything. And I would take that shit back, that negativity back. That Brody Stevens, you give me negativity, I give you negativity. Or however he says it. But, like, she would put the negativity on me and I would take it back to my dad's side of the family. And that shit is just not fucking fair. And I lived through that for my entire childhood until I became an adult and realized what my mom had done. And now I haven't spoken to her in a very, very long time. So when I just realized the point that I get, there's some sort of negativity that I had in my life that I could let destroy me from the inside out. Positive push. Yes, push and believe. You got it. I could just let this shit ruin my mind, or I could put it towards something different. Kevin wants to know, Norm. But I don't know. I heard Joe Rogan say one day, you know what, man? Maybe you're just a comic. Maybe you didn't have a shit life. Maybe you're just a comic. Positive push. Tell them, Kevin. That's great. That's beautiful. But just that thing, whatever that is that makes a comic, I believe I have that thing. The only difference is getting on a stage and talking and making people laugh. That is what I have not done. I'd like to do that. And there will be in the Kelsey Hudgens show, just because comedy is probably my favorite thing right now. I'm a big flavor of the week guy. And anybody who knows me well knows that I'm a flavor of the week kind of guy. Like sometimes I'll be balls deep into this show. Or there was a while when Norm was all that I did. Like everything that I did was Norm something. Like all about. And I try to pull that off, making people laugh at my gigs, Valish. Like I think that I do pretty well with that if I get the crowd on my side first. But there was a moment in time, and dude, Norm narrates my thoughts, and y'all, it's the greatest. It's literally the greatest. I just realized I have overhead lights on and not my studio lights. Who cares? But dude. Just like there's certain flavor of the week things that I get, but the one thing that's always been there in the background has been stand up comedy. Like I've always really been into stand up comedy, and I hate when the man did. I hate what the fucking man did. He's a piece of shit for doing what he did. But Bill Cosby himself, when I was a kid, was my favorite stand up special ever. And I hate what he fucking did. He's a fucking piece of shit for what he did. Oh, but it's the hypocrisy, you know. At least he wasn't a hypocrite. But I just having that when I was a very young kid, I could recite that entire stand-up special. And ever since I was that young, even with Eddie Murphy Raw and original Kings of Comedy, and then when Jeff Foxworthy and a Blue Collar Comedy Tour came out and all that shit, I was really into that mainstream comedy stuff. And then I started listening to this guy named Joe Rogan's podcast, and I found an entire world of underground comedians who were underground comedians at that time. And I found out, like, holy shit, these guys are actually funny. And then I see this machine video that was going around Facebook a few years ago, and like, holy shit, dude, Comic View, bro, dude, Comic View, dude. I remember going to sleep at night watching Showtime at the Apollo, and dude, like fucking with that clown that would come out and kick people off stage if they weren't funny. Do y'all remember that shit? That clown was my jam, dude. I love that. I always wanted to see people do good. And y'all, I was a very young kid. Like, I was, 7, 8, or 9. Dude, I love George Carlin, Bruce. George Carlin is the shit. But yeah, 7, 8, 9 years old, watching Showtime at the Apollo with Steve Harvey. Sinbad did a couple of seasons, but then Steve Harvey did it forever. And I watched that shit, dude, every Saturday night. And whenever that fucking clown would come out, dude, and kick them people off stage, and the crowd would start booing, and that clown would come out, dude, I love that shit. I always wanted the comedians to do well, but that was almost like, holy shit, y'all. Showtime at the Apollo was like the original Kill Tony. The original Showtime at the Apollo clown is the kitty from Kill Tony. How crazy is that?
There is a chance I'm part black. Two things. I'm from Bennettsville, South Carolina, and white folks are definitely a minority in Bennettsville, and my Aunt Marie was adopted. My Aunt Marie was black as well, and my grandparents adopted her in 1972. So absolutely, I'm fucking part black. You kidding me? A bunch of racist motherfuckers around here. Listen, I will say this, that I get that, like, I don't say, like, there's certain words that I've removed from my vocabulary over the years, and I don't really get mad at anybody when they use those words, like the F word when referring to homosexuals, or the R word when referring to people of mental handicaps. But the N word, I have absolutely no patience. I have absolutely no tolerance for, and I don't see any. I don't like it. I just don't. I don't like it. And the reason I don't like it is because when I was a kid, I grew up in the South. I knew a lot of racist jokes, and my Aunt Marie heard me and my friends one time out of my pool room, and this was after I was like grown. You know, this was after I was past the age of 18 years old. I should have known better. And my Aunt Marie heard me using that word, and she like pulled me to the side, and she was like, "Hey, like, I know it's funny, and you think, like, I know it's funny to you and your friends, you think it's funny to do that, but like," she's like, "a lot of people have called me that word, you know, not in a funny way over the course of my life, and it like makes me feel a certain way, and shit like that." So like, ever since she pulled me to the side and had that conversation with me, I've always had it in the back of my mind that, you know, that was a thing. And by the way, I didn't hear her then. I kept living my life just like I was living it. That was one of those things that she told me, but I heard more loudly after she passed. And there's so many lessons in life that you get from people who have passed. The things that they taught you when they were, or things they tried to teach you while they were alive that you didn't learn, that you have learned now ever since they've passed. I've got a line in a song. Yeah, 100%, Kevin. I got a line in a song I wrote about my granddad that says, I learned half as much from him alive as I have now from his ghost. And that's the same with my Aunt Marie. Like, all of the stuff that she told me when she was alive that I didn't hear, I hear now. And I'm forever grateful for that. But she ended up talking to me and telling me about, you know, the using the N-word and stuff like that. So, like, I'm really, 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 really bad about that. Like, when I hear somebody say it, it turns my stomach. And I just don't like it, and I don't agree with it. I don't know. I don't like that. But that's beside the point. I don't know. But I get why you would ask that, because I loved a lot of like black comics and stuff like that. And I remember some coworkers that I had one time when I was like trying to say that I like black comics because black comics were funnier. And I somebody thought that I meant that, and I was being racist. Like, "Oh, well, you think the black people are funny? You like to laugh at them? Like, they're a joke?" And I'm like, no. Like, I mean this. Like, my favorite comedy of all time, Harlem Nights, hands down. And the reason that I bring that up is because it's the fucking funniest movie of all time, and it has a dominantly black cast, and it's just funnier. It's just simply funnier. And I mean, when I said that to some coworkers one time, they thought that I was like being racist. And I found that out later. I was like, "No, you're totally misunderstanding me right now. Like, I'm just, I grew up like in a different," okay. For instance, David Lucas for Kill Tony. We were talking about a bit that he did that was in an Eddie Murphy special. He never seen it because he liked white comedians. It's just like that. Sometimes that kind of thing happens to people, to where I swear to God, I didn't know a lot about George Carlin or like Louis C.K. in the early days, or even Robin Williams in the early days. Like, I was a D.L. Hughley guy, or Cedric the Entertainer, or Bernie Mac, like Steve Harvey. Like, these were my dudes. BET, dude. Comic View was my shit. And Patrice, just people that you would see on shit like that. And I didn't watch Living Color, which is weird because one would think, but But still, like, that's just the kind of shit that I was into. The Wayans brothers, man. I will say that I didn't watch Living Color, but I love the Wayans brothers. And I grew up watching Martin Lawrence and fucking Chris Tucker. Like, just like Eddie Griffin. These were like the stand-ups that I watched. Now, Adam Sandler I really dug when I was a kid, because I remember stealing that What the Hell Happened to Me CD from my Aunt Marie. And I was way too young to be hearing him talking about a goat. And when we got there was no wife, only a short letter. It said, "I'm leaving you for your brother, because he fucks me better." Dude, I was way too young to be listening to shit like that. But everything that I liked was off color. I remember my brother and his friend Chris Graham. Shout out Chris Graham, my brother Alan's best friend to this day, probably. I remember Chris Graham had some Dice CDs, and this was probably in, like, what year? I was in the sixth grade, so it would have been like 96, 97, somewhere around there. I remember hearing Dice for the first time, and Hickory Dickory Dock, this chick was sucking my cock. I dropped my goo, the clock struck two, I dropped her off on the next block. Hey! However, did I can't reach around like that. But I remember listening to that shit for the first time when I was a kid and being like, what? My dad one time asked me to tell him a joke. And I told him a Dice joke, and he was like, I don't think he knew what to do, because I'm sure he knew who Dice was, but I'm sure he didn't expect me to know who Dice was. And I told him, like, Jack and Jill went up the hill both with a buck and a quarter. Jill come down with 250. Buck and ooh. Dude, that like, however he did it, that thing, hey, that shit was just good, man. But yes, comedy is a result. I understand, Kevin, and dude, Dice, that bit, those bits were only good for a few years, man. That shit did not hold up well at all. Like, those bits were only good for a few years. But what's in the bowl, bitch? But man, all right, so basically, to tie these random ADD-produced thoughts together, I had a lot of darkness in my life. As a young child, I had not the greatest go at it as a child. I didn't have the best go at it as an adult there for a while, and I'm still not having the best go at it. But the one constant through all of that has been comedy. And it seems like at the one time in my life when I've gotten to this, I'm getting those old man, not old man thoughts. A young man would call them old man thoughts, but I would just call them thoughts now, I guess. I'm just getting those thoughts to where I'm like, should I be further along in my life? Should I be living in LA trying to do this thing that I really want to do? Instead of sitting here in South Carolina continuing on the same path that I'm on every year and just keep doing it that way, should I not be renting anymore? Should I live in a house that I own? Should I have a mortgage? Should my credit score be in the 700s now instead of below the fives? Should I have a family? Should I be settling down with someone? I'm having these thoughts now. And in this moment in my life in which I am, I want to say this right so I'm not misunderstood. The moment in my life in which I feel the most lost, when I'm actually not at all, and I need something to take my mind away from the situations that I feel like I'm in. So basically, I am keeping my head above water. but I want to keep more than my head above water. And in the situation that I'm in, I don't believe I will get my head very far out of the water. Ever. If I continue on the same path that I'm on right now. I understand the steps that it's going to take for me to advance in my current situation. And I am so afraid to take those steps. Because taking those steps would probably mean me leaving where I am now in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina. And I love where I live. I love my community and I love my neighbors. I love everything about this little drinking village that I live in. But there's not much more of a future than what I'm already experiencing where I am right now. And it is a very difficult thing for me to process having these thoughts as I have really bad anxiety, as I've told you guys. So it seems like, just like in a video game, when a video game gives you this simple task that you need to complete, and you're like, oh, well, that shouldn't be so hard. We've just got to drop this ring into this bubbly volcano thing. That's not too bad. Let's go. But then you see all the other little things that you have to do before you can take the step up to that fucking Mount Doom, before you can drop that ring in. There's so much other shit that you have to do. I have seen the end of my journey. I've seen where I want to be. And I know that which I have to do to get to that point in my journey. And I am not looking forward to the steps that I will have to take to reach that destination. So, in the time that I have needed comedy the most, it has not only filled my life with the purpose that I have not been getting from the podcast that I haven't been doing, or songs that I haven't been writing, or other things that I've been putting off and not doing just because I'm lazy. Comedy has been filling that hole. And I'm very, very, very grateful for that. And it's been doing that in a way... oh, no, yeah, we ain't doing that, Kevin. We ain't doing that, buddy. I don't want to be famous that bad, buddy. So, what to say about this? I have been doing some changing. And I've been doing some improving. What up, Al Bundy? What? What song by them? I get System of a Down. I just don't know what the... Well, the other thing is, I don't blame you there, Norm. Never change. See, that's the thing. Like, I know Norm doesn't get out much. Norm doesn't leave the house, doesn't have a driver's license or anything. And maybe he does get out. Maybe not. But at least he's in a spot where You know, he could get up and work out if he wanted to. I don't have anything in this area. Here's the thing. I say change. I've been changing a little bit. I've been changing myself a little bit. I am only knocking off the rough edges. Whenever I'm working. Yo trabajo. I'm afraid of leaving here. I'm afraid of leaving my home, Valish. That's Valish asked, saying I'm afraid to take the next step. I'm afraid of leaving here. I'm afraid of walking away from this thing that I've built here. Like, I've wanted all my life to be recognizable, to be famous. Who am I kidding? I could say I don't care about being famous, but that's what's been my motivation of everything that I've ever done in my entire life, was to get to that point. And I don't, and I've you know what? I've kind of reached that around here. I can't go anywhere without being recognized around here. But that's around here, you know? There's so many local celebrities out there. And yeah, that's exactly what I am right now, poser. And I need to relocate. If I really want to reach the destination that I want to reach, I can't do it from here. And that's a really tough decision to make. But it's a decision I've sort of already made, you know. I'm scared. Well, here's the thing, poser. I'm never scared of being a small fish. I'm just scared to get around other big fish and can I say something narcissistic without being judged? Is that okay? So the thing, yeah, I think so. Yeah, like Tina Fey, exactly. Like, that's literally what I'm thinking. So what I was about to say, can I say something narcissistic? I have always walked right into every situation that I've wanted to be in, and I've never had much trouble. I've never had much trouble with anything. You know, if I wanted to do something, I could try to do it, and I would know immediately whether or not I was going to be good at it. And I've never really tried to do something that I didn't become very good at. No matter what the thing was I wanted to try to do, if I put my brain into it and I put my mind into it. Yeah, I appreciate that, Norm. That's what I'm thinking, but here's the thing. I've always been the biggest fish around. This is a complete narcissistic thing, but you know what? It's my fucking name on the podcast. I can be narcissistic, I think, at this point. Literally my name on the podcast. I've never not been the biggest fish. You know? I've never not been the biggest fish. I know if I get out of here, I won't be the biggest fish anymore, and I don't know how I will react to that. I don't know how my demon will react to that. I call it a demon just because it's something that I feel like is strapped to me at all times that I will never be able to release myself from. And I feel as if that demon has been pacified because I have given it exactly what it wanted, and that was to know that it was the biggest, baddest son of a bitch on the planet. And I have that demon that I've convinced that it's right. And the only thing is I haven't really put it in a situation to be proven otherwise yet. And I think maybe afraid of failing, I'm afraid of trying. I'm not afraid of failing because, just to be quite honest, I've never failed at something that I really wanted to do. Maybe only time I failed at something I really wanted, I didn't need that thing. And that's that. I didn't need the thing that I like. The universe has always done right by me. The universe, God, whatever you want to call it, has always done right by me. And also, I'm afraid of falling into old habits if I were to get into a situation. I've had drug problems in the past. I'm afraid of falling into that. But I know, Kevin, you're right. That's right, Valis, you're right on that. I think so. I think the universe might be grateful for my contributions. And here's the thing. Whether or not I reach the pinnacle, Kevin, the reason why I relocate is because if I stay here, I'll still, 20 years from now, I'll be doing the same thing that I'm doing right now. Like, I'm not going to reach. Yeah, I would. You know what? I would love to stay here. I would love to create a scene around this area and like foster it. And just like pretty much like if I don't want to. But then would I just be like Richie Rich? Wow, that's a deep fucking reference that I don't even. Where did I get that from? Richie Rich, the butler, one time paid a bunch of kids to come by Richie Rich's house and play with Richie because he had no friends. And he paid a bunch of these kids to come and hang out. And well, I could create the situation around here, but then would I just be Richie Rich where I'm like, I'm too good to go out on the road and grab this thing by myself. Like, for instance, I feel like I don't deserve the destination that I have in my mind if I don't get out there and go get it myself instead of creating it here on my own. Stagnant. That's exactly right. On a raining Wednesday morning, that's the day that I was born in that old sharecropping one-room country shack, baby. They said my mama left me around the same day that she had me. She'd hit the road and never once looked back. Yeah, well, I thought that I might mention that my granddad's old beach mansion is the reason that I'm standing here today. Well, Well, I got all my country learning from the milking and a churning, from picking cotton, raising hell, and baling hay. So tonight I've been to Georgia on a fast train, honey. I wasn't born no yesterday. I got a good Christian raising and an 8th grade education. No needing y'all treating me this way. Yeah, I know. Norm, you in L.A.? Is that true? They're out here telling lies on you, Norm, or is that where you at? I came here looking for something I couldn't find anywhere else. Man, I'm not trying to be nobody. Just want a chance to be myself. I've done 1,000 miles of thumbing. I've worn holes in both my heels. Let out to find me something better on the streets of Bakersfield. Well, you don't know me, but you don't like me. Careless how I feel. How many of you can sit and judge me on the streets of Bakersfield? Bakersfield. I'm looking for a place to rent in Bakersfield. No, I'm not, Kevin. I'm not convinced that my success and my dreams are in another town across the country. I was convinced that my dreams and my success were here in Murrells Inlet. And you know what? I've done good. I've done good here, man. I've done so good to where if you type in the name Cornbread Band, the band that I'm in is the first one that comes up. I'm to the point now to where if you Google my name, if you Google Kelsey Hudgens, it comes up musical artist, Murrells Inlet based artist and podcaster and host of the MI Stuff podcast and blah, blah, blah. All of this really neat stuff comes up. Like I felt like I am where I wanted to get. But, okay, so for instance, when I was a kid, the destination that I wanted to reach, I've pretty much reached it. When I was a kid, I just wanted to not have a regular job. I wanted to be able to pay bills and do what I wanted to do, basically, and not really have to answer to anybody. I've got that. I've done that. But it's like I've beat the game that I wanted to play, and I'm 33. And I've got at least 33 more years, I hope. And I'm like, fuck, am I literally just going to, like, sit here and play this game again or keep playing the same level of this game until maybe I unlock some sort of like secret, I don't know, like some secret level that I didn't know was there or I don't know. I really don't know. I felt like this was my end game right here. You know, what I'm doing right now, I felt like this was my end game. Yeah, right. Like, I am only, I'm 33. And I feel older than that. I look older than that. And a lot of people think I'm older than that. Now, that's what I want to do, is Kevin. Is get tens of thousands of more subs and followers, tour when I want to, self-publish, etc. That's exactly what I want to do. And you know what, man? Doing the internet thing, going through, and I'm like, I'm talking to fucking, I'm sending messages and conversing with William Montgomery and David Lucas and people like that. Like, I feel like, well, Kevin, you're a little older. I think from people who are my age or younger think I'm much older than I am. People older than me can tell, but I think that folks who are my age or a little younger think that I'm older than I am. But, dude, I don't know. Like, I'm conversing with people who I would normally not converse with. And I'm going, like, I don't know. A lot of cool things are happening on the internet. And I know that I don't need to go farther than here to do those things. And I also know that I'm going to be here for another year or two, no matter what. Just, I don't want to get to the point where, fuck, I'm like waiting for letters on the door. And then I'm like, okay, well, fuck, if I'm going to get a letter on the door because I can't pay my bills, am I going to go out to LA and just be fucking homeless and struggle until something happens? But yeah, I mean, shit. I don't know, man. That makes sense, Corey. My brother is 37, 38. Man, my brother's 38, and I hung out with him and his friends when I was a kid. So I've always felt like I was 5 or 6 years older than I actually am. But anyway, that's beside the point. Oh man, no weed. That's a bummer, poser. You ought to just get the fuck out of where you at and go the fuck home. You got some weed at the house, don't you? It is East Coast 420. But here's the thing, like I said, who knows? I could hang around here for another year. I could hang out here for another year. I could hang out here for another 2 years. And build this little internet empire that I'm trying to build. And don't get me wrong, that's what I'm trying to fucking build, is an internet empire. I want to fucking do this thing. This is fun. I've spent a fuckload of money in these awesome mics that I've got in this board and all this setup that I've got. I spent a ton of money with this shit. And I want to get my money's worth. I want to get my fucking money's worth out of this thing. And I want it to pay for itself. I want to produce shit. I want to do this thing. And I could do it in this area all day. There's a couple people who want me to produce their podcast in this area that I will 100% do and try to make a little money on the side doing that. But I just feel like, shit, I'm looking at podcasts that I really enjoy, that I really dig, that I'm like, fuck, these guys need me. You know, like these dudes need me to make sure that these things don't happen. Like, I don't know. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at, Kevin. I feel like I've reached the end of my journey, and I'm like, I'm not there yet. You know, I've reached the end of my journey, and then I realize, oh shit, there's more to this than what I've already done. Oh yeah, I know that, poser. I know that. And there's a pretty good bit of money that you can make from it, Corey. Just by having the setup to where somebody's like, hey, I don't want to have to spend thousands of dollars on this setup. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean, Corey. Like, you do getting clients. Like, most people be like, instead of having to spend thousands of dollars, $3,000-$4,000. On fucking equipment like this, I'll just pay you $50 to come and do a podcast with you. And that's where I'm at. I do know that. And I will keep evolving and creating and stuff. I just reached a slump right now. It's the winter time. I'm not doing my best mentally. And I don't know. I just want to be honest about that. I want to be upfront about that. And that's why I've been silent. That's why I haven't been doing podcasts. That's why I haven't been getting on here going live and shit like that, because I've just had all this stuff. Winter is rough. Poser, 100%. It really is rough. And I'm just not in my best. I'm not in my best spirits. And dude, I really was thinking about that. Like, I think that I want to use the Norm video I want to use it. Hey, Kelsey, Norm MacDonald here. So you have a podcast. That's fantastic. You know what I always say? What the world needs now is podcasts, more podcasts, and then do my intro. I really want to do that, like when I do the intro song or whatever for the I just have to know. The Norm MacDonald show might be the one to answer this. Did I insult Norm at all with the cameo video? Was anything that I did out of the way insulting? Now, I know I tagged him on Twitter with the video. I may have sent him a message with a link to an episode of my podcast where I used the intro that he made in the cameo video. Do you think that I was out of line at all, or was that something that maybe I shouldn't have done? Like, was that, did I overstep my boundaries by doing that? I'm just curious, because it shouldn't bother me. It shouldn't bother me, but it really bothered me that he blocked me on Twitter. And I know that it's probably just him fucking with me, trolling me, but it that shit fucked with me a lot, getting blocked by my favorite comedian on Twitter. Most people would be like, holy shit, Norm knows who I am. He blocked me. That took effort. And I'm like, man, that just fucked me up, man. Because it was like the biggest. When I had my Norm joke, you can lead a horse to water, but why? That just sounds like Norm. And when he read that and laughed and told me that was pretty funny, like, that was my fucking, that was it. That was like it for me. But I don't know, that was it for me. That was so fucking cool. And then a few weeks later, I see Norm posted this thing after the Harvey Weinstein went to that comedy show, and the woman who was on stage talked about the giant elephant in the room or whatever. Okay, I'll take that from you. I'll take that from you. But Norm blocking me and saying that he likes me, that'll make me sleep a little easier at night. But whenever I saw somebody share a picture of a Norm MacDonald tweet, which was beautiful, by the way, Norm never misses. He never misses. Even when people are like, that wasn't that good, like when he ruins family night, quote unquote, he never misses. Just the stories that how he walked 80% of a crowd at a family night bill is a beautiful story. So whenever I saw him make a joke about, I just can't believe that women in show business still feel like they need to use Harvey Weinstein's name to further their careers, which is 100% what this comic did. And I'm not sure with her work as a comedian, but it's like she posted this thing about she gained blah 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 amount of followers in one day because she stood up to Harvey Weinstein. That's a ballsy thing to do, and she did what needed to be done in a comedy club. Like, if there's something going on, you have to fucking talk about it. You have to address it. For instance, they were talking, somebody, I can't remember who it was, it might have been Michelle Wolf, talking about comics in the back room. We're talking about these Spanish people that were sitting out front, these maybe Mexicans that were sitting in the front just looking mad, mean mugging every comic. And they just talk about this backstage, and Dave Attell hears about it, and Dave Attell goes out and sees them right there, and immediately he goes, oh shit, what happened? Did Selena die again? And immediately, like, he cracks them up and he wins them over. But, like, that's what a good comic would do, is walk out, not ignore the elephant in the room, just discuss it immediately. And that's probably exactly what it was. And she did the right thing as a comic by saying, you know, what she said about Harvey Weinstein. But Norm's joke about that was just so fucking precise, and how, like, this lady, blah, 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 whoever she was at, I can't remember her name, forgive me for that, gained 10,000 followers today by her joke on Harvey Weinstein. I can't believe that after all that's gone on in this country that women still feel the need to use Harvey Weinstein to further their careers. And that's just such a funny joke. God, that's hilarious. And I just don't... When I saw somebody post that, I was like, I don't understand why I haven't seen this yet. Like, I follow Norm on Twitter. I should have seen this. So I go and I search Norm MacDonald, and it's like, Norm MacDonald has blocked you. I'm like, oh, man. Norm has blocked me. Like, my whole heart sank. I was like, immediately, like, I have... Like I said, like I was saying earlier, like my paranoia, like I have intense paranoia, and I have paranoia to the point where I can't be in a relationship, because I feel like every single time that a girl is not with me, that she is with somebody else. And like, any time that a girl's not with me, she's cheating on me, because that's just where my mind goes, and I can't get past that. And that's why I don't want to be in a relationship right now, because I don't want to subject anybody to that. I don't want to subject a girl to that. And, like, as soon as I saw that Norm MacDonald has blocked you, I was like, fuck, it's because I did the cameo video, and he, I shouldn't have done that cameo video. Norm is an established comic. This is below him. This is beneath him. I got him to plug my podcast for only a few $100, and having Norm MacDonald plug something would usually cost thousands of bucks. And I'm like, I cheated the system in a way. And I literally, like, that's how my mind works. I just immediately came up with all these things that I had done wrong, and, like, got pretty much my favorite comic on my bad side. Favorite comic of all time. Like, Norm is... There's Norm, then there's 100 feet of nothing, and then there's, like, the rest of the comics that I really like. You know what? I can't even think of who my second favorite comic would be. Norm, for sure. I don't know. It takes a little effort to go through to block somebody, because I've done it before. It takes effort. But the fact that, yeah, if it's like... If the whole block thing is like, just Norm being Norm, and like, ha, I'll tell you what I'll do. Like, this will get, he'll get a kick out of this. It's 4:30 in the morning. I know I'm not going to bed for another 3 or 4 hours. So, the Kelsey Hudgens Show. This isn't going to be an episode. This is just going to be something to kind of show you guys who I am, who haven't heard me before and haven't listened to me in a podcast setting. It'll sort of give you an idea of what I'm about. And, I'm going to cut off the, I'm going to cut off the audio recording, and I'm going to keep streaming, because I'm going to let you guys, if you guys want to hang out with me while I do some work, I'm going to do some editing around and do another intro song. So if you guys want to hang out with me while I do that, you're more than welcome. So let me turn on some music here real quick. I gotta go take a piss. Mm.
All right, I'll be right back. Be good people. In a world full of shitty people, don't be one of those people. Be a good person. Peace, bitches. 6-1